The musician Anne Watts avoids making eye contact when she starts telling a painful story.
It's easier if I don't look at you. I don't mean to be rude. It just, I get really sucked into visuals and then I can't think. So that's why I'm looking at the floor.
Well, I'm a distracting guy.
You understand why her stories are so hard to tell as soon as Anne Watts starts talking. She came to our studios to play with her band, Boister. On their latest recording, they revised The Saints Come Marching In as a song called Demons Come.
When the demons come marching in, you know the time has come to migrate. People walking in their sleep will gather up their things and pile them in the driveway.
She's bending a theme song of New Orleans, which has seen its share of demons lately. But Anne Watts is singing about far more private disasters. She worked for years with Alzheimer's patients, helping them to create their own art. Before that, she volunteered to work with people in a mental institution.
There was a man, he was like a troll. He was really small, and he was really quite old. And he didn't speak, and he'd been institutionalized since he was 11. And he was shuffling around in the hallways looking for cigarette butts on the floor that he would chew on. I just became fascinated with him. And then one day I gave him a piece of paper and a pen, and he made a drawing that was really extraordinary. And it looked like a figure, but it also looked kind of like a windmill. And it was as if it was moving, trembling. And I said to him, "John, is this a windmill?" And he had never spoken to me before. I had never heard him speak. And he sort of groaned this little word. He said, "Windmill." And then I realized, you know, this person is like brimming with soul and brimming with life.
And the demons go marching in.
Is there something that you played before that you would never play now, for example? Or a few bars of something that is played differently now because of what you experienced?
Yeah, I mean, the kind of thing I was writing before. You know, very piano-based, very sort of like, oh, I'm fascinated with tritones and minor seconds, aren't they great? And afterwards, things became more melodic. I became less afraid to speak my heart. And many times I would just tell stories directly that I'd culled from the residents, you know, direct quotes from them. And so, like,
I'm smoking Philip Morris, reading Louis.
Invent stuff about it. You know, you go to classes and a rehab, renting movies by the score. Because what I was finding was this amazing juxtaposition between people who are in the real world playing tennis and, you know, renting movies and drinking and partying and, you know, people who are just a little bit further down the line with, you know, who'd gotten gangrene or, you know, suddenly had to have their legs amputated and, you know, we're just really mostly concerned with getting a good cup of coffee and making sure they had enough cigarettes on hand.
This really painful experience, just from that little example, did make your music more real, but also more fun.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? That was a real turning point for me as a musician because it was no longer about me inflicting my will. It was about learning how to listen and observe and have the courage to stay and not look away, you know?
There's a line you've written in your latest release, "You can't write letters underwater."
Yeah.
Which immediately felt to me like it relates to all this.
Yeah, my father was dying, and, you know, he seemed kind of young to me to be dying, and lo and behold, he was in a nursing home, and he was hallucinating, and it felt like he was trying to write me, say something to me, you know? It was like that. He was trying to write a letter underwater, you know? And, you know, that don't try to scribble something in your drink, you know. It's just he loved a good cocktail, you know.
You can't write a letter underwater. Don't try to scribble something in your drink. You can't force a person to be different. Don't try to tell them what to think. I wasn't happy when I heard the bells chime. I didn't go bounding up and down the stairs. There you were with your pancreatic cancer. Every time I think it when I get on track.
You have students now.
Yeah, I do have a lot of them.
So, let me just clarify that. Are you still working with older people?
No.
Okay.
I'm turning into one. Oh.
So you used to work with older people. Now you're working with younger people.
Yeah, now I work with kids. I have kids. And, you know, people on opposite ends of the life spectrum, you know, they're equally fascinating, you know. I mean, you can get a whole song out of one line that a kid says. A kid makes a reference to a mango being a lady, you know, or a cloud being crushed, you know.
The clouds are crushed, you said, and so am I.
I mean, that's plenty for me, you know.
And that came from
a 2-year-old. Oh, the clouds are crushed.
That's one deep 2-year-old.
That's my daughter.
Oh. Congratulations.
Thanks. You got one too, huh?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, so you know what I mean. Well, when they become more verbal, they're just astonishing.
The album is Sister City. The group is Boyster. And its members are Ann Watts, Kurt Heavey, Craig Considine, Charles Freeman, Lyle Kissick, and Dennis Malloy. You can hear more of the tunes they play in our studio, including this twisted version of the Morning Edition theme song, at NPR.org. And this is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montagne.